This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
It was a surprise weekend announcement that possibly no outsider had an inkling of. After taking over all the best ports, airports, cement, power plants, and solar assets that money can buy, Gautam Adani, who so far had nothing to do with telecom, announced he's going to bid for 5G spectrum in the upcoming auction that starts in the last week of July.
Adani Group will be participating in the upcoming 5G auctions. They have clarified that the acquired spectrum will be used for captive consumption only to create a private network for their own businesses, and this is not to cater to the consumer telecom services business like Bharti Airtel or Reliance Jio. But it's come in as a big negative surprise for the other incumbent players.
Just when a period of calm and stability was setting in India's telecom sector after years of cash bleed and capital destruction, giving hopes to a new era of stable market share and improved per-user revenue, came this bazooka of a breaking news. Shares of rival telco started shivering. Across boardrooms, anxiety levels too started rising. But my colleague Kalyan Parbat was super duper excited.
My first honest to God reaction, if you were to ask me, was like, man, this is a blessing for telecom.
Kalyan has been covering telecom for over two decades. So was he expecting something like this?
Again, I wasn't entirely surprised because, you know, the government had been, you know, very strongly sort of pushing this entire conversation around captive private 5G networks. And then, you know, so Adani comes along and makes this announcement that he's keen to, you know, participate in the auction, and then he backs it up by saying that he's going to do, you know, private networks. So I realized that there was obviously some method in the buzz that was happening in the last couple of months. I had this inkling that there was somebody big, some big boy or big boys were, you know, behind the scenes. And, you know, so which is why there's all this sudden enthusiasm, this sudden clamor for direct allotments.
By that, Kalyan means direct allotment of spectrum, and the fact that Adani chose to take the flight straight to the networks of fellow billionaire boys Mukesh Jio Ambani and Sunil Airtel Mittal. 6 years ago, Ambani disrupted India's wireless market with cheap data and free calls to emerge as the market leader with 410 million subscribers. He's added layers to his core telecom offerings, services like e-commerce, entertainment, digital advertising, e-pharmacies, and mobile education, to make it into a $95 billion enterprise, 17% bigger than the hydrocarbons empire he inherited from his dad, if analysts at Jefferies are to be believed. But Adani's telecom plans, though not fully revealed yet, and only restricted to private networks as of now, has the potential to change the dynamics yet again.
Private networks and this entire conversation around private networks, because, you know, it can transform, it sort of gels with India's, you know, manufacturing ambitions, you know, to become a global manufacturing hub. And, you know, that's where, you know, typically private networks can sort of make, you know, they can digitize factories, they can make factories operate, you know, manufacturing more productive, more efficient. So that's, you know, that's where you sort of, those are typically the building blocks to be a global aspirant on the manufacturing stage.
And that's why everyone is nervous. Will the disruptors of telecom get disrupted by a new Godzilla? From the Economic Times, I'm Arijit Barman, and you are listening to Adani versus Jio versus Airtel and the fight for 5G on The Morning Brief. It's Tuesday, 19th of July, less than 10 days for the 5G auctions.
Adani's announcement and his big, you know, his entry, you know, promised a ray of sunshine around doom and gloom. You know, telecom was only tales about doom and gloom. And here was a promise of, you know, some sunshine, you know, and some fresh air. A deep-pocketed guy like Adani coming into the scene, it sort of transforms the, you know, makes telecom suddenly a more exciting place. You know, we, last couple of years, you know, ever since the AGR thing happened in October 2019, if I remember right, you know, it's been just, like you said, about companies like Vodafone Idea going belly up, clamoring for support from the government for, you know, waivers. Because, you know, because the AGR blow was massive. So it's obviously that there was a huge amount of concern for these guys. And the stories were around, you know, how long is Vodafone going to survive? Will Airtel survive? You know, it was, you know, and it was only, is Jio going to be a monopoly? There was talk of, you know, further consolidation, you know, down to a duopoly. So, you know, it was all negative. It was negative. But so Adani promises fresh breezes, new stirrings.
It already has. Coming up in this episode, what does Adani's telecom foray mean for rival telecom companies? Should Ambani get ready for an all-out Adani attack? Over the years, they did not cross paths. But with a foray in petrochemicals, high-stake battle in clean energy and now telecom, the gloves are off in this battle royale between two of the most influential businessmen of this country. Also, we will hear from my colleague Surabhi Agarwal what's at stake for even technology companies like TCS or an Infosys or even an Amazon or Google, who have been looking to grab a share of 5G airwaves for private networks to offer enterprise solutions to their clients.
Captive 5G space or the 5G space, we've seen, you know, reigning surprises, and entry of Adani is one such surprise, you know, which is very interesting and sort of it's made the space much more interesting. You know, the first one was, of course, when the government sort of allowed the tech players to directly bid for spectrum. That was the biggest surprise, and that sort of, you know, ruffled many feathers. And we saw over the last couple of weeks how fierce the battle has been between the tech companies and the telcos. And now when a player like Adani, a moneyed player like Adani, enters into the fray, it completely unsettles the whole industry, be it the tech players or the telecom players.
But before we get deep into the fight, let's understand what does these jargons like 5G captive networks, enterprise or business solutions that you will keep hearing throughout this episode actually mean?
The opportunities are, to put it mildly, limitless. Because, see, before we get into captives, we need to realize one thing, that 5G, unlike 4G or 3G or 2G, is not purely about mobile broadband services. It's not about you and me or people conversing, doing data, doing video calls over, or watching movies on their phones. So the cherry, if one were to say, the cherry in around 5G is going to be in the industrial use cases, as in, and part of that is the captive private 5G networks. Everybody is really excited about the opportunities. So Adani, given his being the conglomerate, the fact that they are in ports, in airports, in coal mining and the works. So the whole business of private 5G networks sort of is a natural fit for them, in the sense they could just imagine. Picture yourself, you're in one of Adani's port complexes. If he has a 5G powered network in his port, you could see a fleet of trucks with sensors which are plugged onto 5G, you know, coming in with containerized cargo, heading off from the warehouse to the loading point and boarding it on a ship. That entire thing could be mechanized, could be automated, and could be controlled and could be tracked real time with 5G. You could totally eliminate pilferage. You could eliminate machine downtime. You would be able to detect fault issues. If a machine is kind of is sort of malfunctioning, you can have sensors which will give you an advance alert that this fellow is going to crash. You can have a backup in place. So you understand. So 5G gives you a very powerful menu of options.
Therefore, Adani's official statement about their telecom plans has got everyone thinking. It says that it's meant for their own usage, maybe for now. But is that the case for the long run?
As Goldman Sachs says that it opens the door for the Adani Group to expand into the consumer mobile services over a period of time. Although right now they've said that, you know, their quiet spectrum will be used only for captive consumption. But what if 5 years later, you know, 5 years down the line, they want to enter into the consumer mobility space or tap into the 5G enterprise opportunity? All those options are open for Adani Group, which is what the street is fearing.
Their media statement is extremely cryptic. It says that they are here to provide private, captive private network solutions. Nowhere are they saying that it's just for their own requirement. If you read the press release carefully, it says we are in the business of providing private network solutions using the 5G spectrum. And we, in addition, we are going to use these private networks to make our own operations, as it be it aviation, be it ports, be it logistics, be it coal mining, manufacturing. We try and make that more efficient. That is part of the lingo typically that goes with captive private 5G networks. So nowhere have they said categorically that we are not going to offer private networks, captive private networks, 5G as a service to third parties, to enterprises. So, and that is where the real action is in 5G. So the fact that he says I'm not immediately in the race for consumer mobility, that's fine. Now, a big boy like Adani, one would obviously not expect somebody like him to reveal his cards right away in a hurry.
Correct.
So he's going to take his own sweet time and he's going to come out with his bigger thing once he's ready.
To be ready, you also need a full-blown pan-India telecom backbone.
Right now, he's a new kid insofar as consumer mobility goes. He doesn't have a network on the ground. And obviously, it doesn't make sense for him to say, I'm going to compete with Jio, which has a thriving 4G network, pan-India, a rocking, profitable operation, Airtel, which is equally strong. Vodafone is the only one which is sort of weak, fumbling, bumbling, strapped for funds. So they have an issue. But so while it makes sense for Adani to come in as a third mobile operator, he can take his own sweet time. There is no hurry, like I said. 5G, the main action is enterprise.
But Kalyan's intuition, like many others, say that this is just the chapter one of an unfolding story.
This is a movie which is sort of evolving. We've merely seen the trailer.
Correct.
It could go any place.
Correct.
Adani, being the smart cat that he is, I'm sure he's got the best of advisors. Now, he would obviously know, like everybody, like every telco knows, that, you know, rolling out, you're buying 5G spectrum in July on 26th onwards. Just merely buying 5G spectrum isn't going to guarantee revenue for Jio or Airtel or Vodafone, right? Why do I say that? It's because, see, 5G, you know, the ecosystem, the devices ecosystem is yet to mature, right? The phones, the 5G smartphones that are available in the market, they're pretty expensive, around 15,000 or 20,000 bucks. It's certainly not mass. It's elite. It is elitist. Semiconductor prices have shot up, there's a short supply. So which is why phones are expensive right now. More importantly, the telcos know that there are no mass consumer-oriented 5G use cases for mass traction to happen immediately. That'll take time. Airtel, Gopal Vittal, I was talking to him the other day, he was saying that for 5G in India won't happen at least till April. Meaningful adoption of 5G, I stand corrected, won't happen before, say, March, April 2024. Why is that? Because right now, 5G phones, as in 5G smartphones, make up barely 3 to 4% of total mobile phones in circulation in India. Now, yeah, so that's nothing. So for any meaningful 5G accelerated rollouts to happen and for adoption levels to rise, you need at least 16 to 20% market penetration of 5G devices. Now that's at least 2 years away.
Look around. Most of the applications are in the realm of possibilities. It will happen for sure, and that's why the clamor. but not from this Independence Day. That's in 5 weeks from now.
Oh, where is the Moss app that you and I are going to sort of kill to get a 5G connection? Driverless car is not a mass consumer app. It might work in San Francisco. It won't work in Cal or in Bombay or in Delhi, right? So it's a robotic surgery using a high-speed, zero-latency network. I'm not pretty sure whether that will work in Bridge Candy or in Woodlands or in Ames. Yeah, I'll feel very uncomfortable if a doctor in Ames suddenly decides he's going to operate me or he's going to do my core diagnosis or do even an angiogram sitting in Delhi for a patient who's in Lucknow, say, for instance. Because the network might flop, might founder, might crash. I could get killed in the process. So I'm not going to take a chance, right? So Adani, from that perspective, it makes sense. He wants to get into an area where, with the spectrum, he is going to get access to two of the critical bands in this auction, which is ideal for captive 5G. One is the 26 gigahertz millimeter wave band. The other is the more expensive, but the coveted 3.3 to 3.67 gigahertz, which is popularly known as the C band, right? So he gets access. And besides eight other bands, which are the sub gigahertz, as in the sub 1 gigahertz, but primarily so far as five, from a 5G perspective, from a captive's perspective, those are the two bands that I would imagine he's going to target, because 700 megahertz is frightfully expensive. Even C-band is frightfully expensive.
5G auctions begin July 26th. So where can we see the Adani action?
So I see him primarily targeting 26 gigahertz, which is dirt cheap, 7 crores a megahertz, which is like pocket change for a guy like Adani. So he can pick up 1,000 units of that, or even 500 units. So if he picks up 500 units, it just costs him something like 3,500 bucks, 3,500 crores, which is no big deal, right? Whereas the other band, which is the C band, the 3.3, that to get 100 megs would cost him nearly 32,000 crores. Now that is where the deep pocket would matter, right? So right now, like I said, his whole game could well be around captives, because he realizes that as a telco, he's a new kid on the block. So he's not going to make, if Jio and Airtel and Vodafone are going to struggle, he's not certainly not going to make money tomorrow, right? He doesn't have a network on the ground. So he needs time to roll out a network. The only thing is if he acquires somebody, that's a different game.
And after Monday, that speculation will once again start afresh. Why? Because of an EMD googly. EMD what? That's earnest money deposits. Adani has put in the lowest earnest money deposit of just about 100 crore, a token amount, as opposed to the 14,000 crore that Jio has submitted to the government. Even the dwindling Vodafone idea has put forth more money than Adani. Kalyan, what is EMD?
So basically, EMD as an earnest money deposit is indicative of a company's bidding strategy. And in this case, in the upcoming 5G spectrum auction. And it also indicates a company's spectrum buying capacity. Because, you know, basis the quantum of EMD that he puts in, he gets points, eligibility points, which allows him to bid for X number of circles across X number of bands. So either he can choose to, you know, he can bid for spectrum in some bands or all bands, in some markets or all markets. That's where it's at. So in this case, Adani has put in something like 100 crores. So while he can apply everywhere, but obviously it'll be limited to the points he earns, you know. So typically, make it even simpler. So if somebody's EMD is, say, 100 crore, then typically the capacity, the thumb rule is that he can buy spectrum worth at least 9 to 10 times more. So if it's 100, so he can typically buy about 1,000 crores of spectrum. Whereas if it's 14,000 crores, he can buy 140,000, 1,40,000 crores of spectrum. So that's the scale, you understand? But It doesn't necessarily mean that they'll go the entire stretch. They can. It's an indicator. It's the flexibility that a company might want to have. That's what it is.
Would this mean then that this time around, Adani will play a very fringe role? It would still bid, but selectively and only for some bands to run its own network.
Most likely, I would imagine so. And I see a strong possibility of Adani targeting 26 gigahertz, which is the cheapest. It's at 7 crores a megahertz. So it's real cheap. So I foresee him targeting around 140-150 odd megs of 26 gigahertz, which is perfect for his own captive private network requirements.
But Jio is clearly not taking any chances still. It has quite literally broken the bank. But why?
My sense is Jio obviously till the last minute had no clue how much EMD Adani would put in. So there was this surprise element, right? So, and the second thing which people keep telling me is that obviously Jio wants to be market leader in 5G. Jio is aware of Airtel's huge market execution capabilities. Jio is also perhaps mindful that Adani, a deep-pocketed player like Adani, could easily come in at a later stage through the inorganic route. And that could create fresh competition in the consumer mobility space, So in case, because right now he hasn't announced something on consumer mobility as of now, Adani, but nothing stops him from doing so in future. And Jio, and I would imagine Airtel, they both perhaps are not ruling out the possibility of, Adani coming in into consumer mobility at a later stage. And most likely through the inorganic route, because it doesn't make sense for a new entrant to come afresh and roll out a greenfield network. It will never be able to compete on the 5G stage with Jio or Airtel, who are entrenched telcos with customers' networks.
So now that the EMD money is in, some indications are throwing up. As I was saying before, the speculation of Adani buying Vodafone Idea will again start choking the airwaves? Or is there something bigger cooking?
Quite. I don't rule it out at all. In fact, there's a lot of buzz. Because the interesting thing, I don't know whether you noticed, Vodafone, which is yet to close its external fundraise, Vodafone Idea has put in an EMD of 2,200 crores, which is 22 times Adani's EMD. So people are obviously wondering, where is Vodafone getting that sort of backup? Market is surprised by Vodafone's EMD. It's way above expectations. So for somebody who's yet to close his external fundraise to suddenly come in with a 2,200 crore EMD is a surprise.
But the question is, when there are provisions to buy spectrum outside the auction process, why is Mr. Adani getting into a potential bidding war by actually participating in them?
There could be a more serious angle to this entire thing. I'll tell you why. See, the government, in all its excitement, has said that we have cleared direct spectrum allotments for independent enterprises, as in the tech companies, systems integrators, independent corporates. So round one was a huge victory for the tech brigade and for the independent enterprises. But there's a twist in the tail, like in so many other scenarios with the government. The twist is the DOT, the government has very clearly said, if you check out the cabinet note, you'll see very clearly they've said, and in subsequent NIA, the notice inviting applications for the auction, it clearly states that fine, we've cleared direct spectrum allotments to independent enterprises for rolling out private, captive, non-public networks, but the actual spectrum allotments will happen only after the DOT concludes a demand study basis which the TRAI will come out with recommendations. Now, this, the buzz in industry is this could take at least 2 years to happen. So a guy like Adani might not have been willing. He, and more importantly, after whatever, nobody knows what the terms of the allotment are going to be. 2 years down the line, if TRAI says it'll be linked to, or it'll be linked to X price, or it'll be linked to market price, it might suddenly become not very exciting. So Adani wants to get the airwaves that he wants right in, right away. He wants to jump in and get a head start.
And that early mover advantage could just give one an extra edge.
Once you have the spectrum, you can not only offer the service of building networks, which is going to be the bread and butter of enterprise business, 5G enterprise, and more importantly, you can get into the spectrum leasing game, which is why the telcos have panicked.
But even for leasing, would an Adani need to rely on, say, an Airtel or any other telco for passive infrastructure, like, say, network, tower, fibers, etc.?
If he's buying spectrum, if he's bidding for spectrum and acquiring spectrum, like I said, he can get into the spectrum leasing game directly. Building a captive network would require time. So nothing stops Adani from partnering with an Ericsson or a Nokia. Because nothing stops them. So he can partner with an Ericsson or a Nokia or a Huawei or a Cisco and say that, buddy, we got a captive private network solution for you guys. I have the spectrum and here's, and these guys are specialists in network engineering and in network rollouts, and they'll build private networks. And this entire thing about private networks is a key element of the 5G for business piece.
How big exactly is this enterprise piece? I mean, commercially, how lucrative is it?
Some market estimates suggest that it's about $31 billion globally. And even though, yeah, it's a huge number. And 5G is, like you said at the beginning of this conversation, is a nascent industry, but the huge use cases are immense.
That was Surbhi Agarwal, ET's technology editor. So where does that leave the technology players?
From the tech company's point of view, I think they are looking at it from a domestic 5G captive perspective. And for them, the opportunity is huge. They have multiple use cases, multiple clients who are right now looking at deploying captive 5G networks, be it hospitals or airports. Right now, we've seen them to be sort of not very vocal about it. But behind the scenes, they are being very aggressive about the fact that they want to directly get the spectrum from the government instead of leasing it from telecom service providers. So that aggressiveness we've seen, be it through the Broadband India Forum or by the letters that the Tata Group has written, etc. And I think Adani will just deepen that market. I don't think right now it will sort of really unsettle the tech companies or sort of put them into a spot where they feel that Adani will eat away into their market share.
So here's the thing. Thus far, for most of us, revenues in telecom meant voice. But then during COVID, we saw it pivot towards data. But for long, we have remained drunk on cheapest rates. Market leader Jio makes just $2 per month per subscriber. That's peanuts, right? We are seeing data prices inch up as telcos pass on the cost. But in future, the moolah within data will be coming more from businesses and less from you and me.
It's a whole new game and it's evolving because the use cases are happening. See, the likes of Jio, Airtel, Vodafone, why have they been betting on 5G? For the last 7-8 months, they've been trialing 5G use cases. Why? Because they're looking at marketing enterprise solutions. Some bulk of the use cases that they're like working behind the scenes are enterprise solutions, and private networks is a huge part of that, right? Because as you rightly said, I'll just interject once. As you rightly said, the ARPU is not going to come tomorrow from mobile services alone. Because, like I said, the adoption will take at least 2 years to happen. The use cases will take time. The handsets need to arrive, the 5G. They need to drop below $10,000, typically $7,000 for mass traction to happen, right? So, and that is not going to happen even in 2 years. That might take 3 years, right? So which is why the jam is around enterprise solutions. And that is where all the freaked out apps and use cases could happen. Driverless cars could work beautifully in a factory.
No wonder Bharti has already fired the first shot, rolling out a captive 5G network for a third party just last week.
They did it with Bosch Automotives, right? So in Bangalore. So they just ran. So you see, you realize the urgency. So, but before I get to it, I'll just jump back. So, like I said, the techcos, they have been saying, while the government has offered us direct spectrum allotments, they haven't given us any timeline on when this is actually going to be available. So they've been complaining, like, the government has offered us the moon and has put the moon under an indefinite eclipse. Get it? So which is indirectly have given the first mover advantage to the telcos. And who jumps in? Airtel jumps in. They trial the first 5G captive network at Bosch. So that's where a TCS is not ready or an Infosys is not ready. Now, these are the guys Airtel can say tomorrow, buddy, I got the spectrum. I got the use case. I can install the network for you tomorrow. Adani realizes that. He's jumped in.
But I can't help wonder, what if Adani ties up with a network specialist like, say, a Nokia or an Ericsson and starts offering solutions or even get into leasing of spectrum game, as Kalyan suggested earlier? That's eating into the technology guy's pie, right?
His entry, I think it will not just increase the competition for the telecom players, but also for the tech companies. Because like you said, that they could tie up with a network provider like Ericsson or Nokia and start offering solutions at a very, very cost-effective rate, right? I mean, I think it will increase the competition quite a bit in this entire space. We have to also understand that Adani comes from a point of view where they have their cash rich. Similar, I mean, even though one can argue that even the tech companies have a lot of cash on their balance sheet, but as far as the risk-taking ability is concerned, I would rate Adani over a TCS or a Tech Mahindra on that. But as far as the competitiveness is concerned, I think it will certainly go up many notches. The whole game will be on how the spectrum is priced. Because from what we know so far, from our conversations with the companies, from the insiders, is that the tech companies have been asking the government to give the spectrum for free. Now, if that happens, if the spectrum is given for free or a very, very nominal rate, then that is when the whole game will sort of shape up, where the spectrum is coming to them for free while some of the companies are having to bid for it and pay a huge price. Now, who gets it for free? Who gets it for what price? How do they eventually price their offerings for the end consumers? Those are things that one needs to sort of wait and watch. One more important point here is that we'll have to see how the government basically defines the rules around around these places. Tech companies are asking the spectrum to be given to them for free because it's for a national good, like some of them are arguing that it'll increase the digital footprint of the country, etc. But obviously the telecom companies, the companies which are bidding for spectrum, paying huge prices, they will certainly be hurt. What we have to clearly watch out is for that, what kind of guardrails the government puts in place to make sure that there is no cannibalization or there is a level playing field for all players.
Adani, interestingly, has already been issued a letter of intent by the telecom department for granting a unified license for the Gujarat circle. This license will technically allow them to offer long-distance calls and internet services commercially. For any old-time telecom watcher, this gives a feeling of deja vu. The entire industry has been polarized not once but at least twice when Reliance entered and then re-entered telecom via a data license for broadband services and then pivoted. Something rivals like Airtel or a Voda Idea that was earlier Hutch, or older players like AT&T and BPL who were once actives, always alleged were surreptitious backdoor entries into full-blown telecom services without paying the requisite high fees to the government.
See, the only variation here this time around from then, see, it was back in 2010, Jio bought the 2300 BWA band, right? Which was essentially a data band for 4G. You didn't have voice. Voice was permitted in 2013, which is when they jumped in and announced. But Adani, if he buys, nothing stops him from offering mobility straight away.
Correct.
So you get it. So tomorrow, he hasn't announced now. But tomorrow, you see, everything hinges. We'll get a sense of his bigger game plan once we get a sense of his auction strategy.
Auction strategy,
that
yes.
That is the key. See, we'll get a sense of what his big plans are, or if they're sort of working, if he has other things behind the scenes.
Who then could be the biggest winner, or more importantly, the biggest loser in the upcoming spectrum sweepstakes?
His entry could engage some sort of more aggressive bidding by Airtel and Jio. I mean, a loser in that, I mean, somebody who could get hit would be Vodafone Idea, because he hasn't closed his fundraise, his external fundraise of about 10 to 20,000 crores that he was targeting. The company hasn't been able to do that, and the auction is just around the corner.
Clearly, the scope for a new telco is only in the enterprise space. Bank of America analyst Sachin Salgaonkar and his team say there's no viable business case for any non-4G telco in consumer mobility, given low tariffs, limited room to differentiate, inadequate spectrum, and lackluster return on investments. Our data, as I said before, is the cheapest, at 10 rupees a GB. You just can't make money on that. Jio and Airtel, number one and number two, are on a strong wicket financially. Vodafone Idea is alive because the government has allowed them to kick the AGR can down the road. So buying them out, but ploughing billions of dollars in capex to revive its prospects, is rather inefficient use of debt financing that fuels Adani's juggernaut. But post-COVID, the hunger for data consumption keeps rising. The corresponding growth of ARPUs, or average revenue per user, will also come from a different user base, the industry. In private contracts, in networks, or business solutions, as more and more corporates digitize their business or move important information to the cloud or automate systems and processes. Think robotics, drones, AI, large-scale mechanization. Think cutting-edge industrial applications and use cases. And these corporates pay much, much better than us, for sure. After getting hold of the spectrum in 2010, Mr. Ambani took 6 years to set up his network and yet caught his rivals napping. Gautam Adani's entry could revive memories of that bloodbath that followed Jio's 2016 debut. As a columnist said, in theory, it could also raise the cost of capital for the entire industry, by keeping the market guessing about a possible clash of titans. Just the threat that Adani might eventually enter consumer mobility could just throw capital-starved Vodafone Idea off the precipice, in which case Mr. Adani could sweep in on it later. Bottom line, despite Kalyan's excitement, a new period of telecom turbulence has already begun to simmer. That's all for now. You've been listening to Adani versus Jio versus Airtel and the fight for 5G on The Morning Brief with me, Arijit Barman. Thank you, Kalyan and Surbhi. Deeply appreciate. This episode was produced by Surbhi Modi from ET and Swati Joshi from Awaaz. Rajesh Nayak from ET and Soundarya Jayachandran from Awaaz were the sound editors. Executive producers Anupriya Bahadur and yours truly. We hope you like this episode. Do share it on your social media networks. The Morning Brief drops every Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays. Do tune in to ET Play, our latest platform for all audio content, including The Morning Brief. Thank you, goodbye and good luck. All clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits mentioned in description.